passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Of Alabama. Tyler dropped by a couple of about a month and a half ago before the season. Now we're midway through the season. So Tyler, first of all, how are you and how's it going?
I'm great, Mr. Feinbaum. Could be doing a lot better, but that's what we're here for, and that's what I'm meant to do. Like, the season is where it's meant to progress as the season goes along. But I'm great. How are you?
Things are going well. And listen, I know that when Alabama struggles a little bit, it's cause for national panic. But it does seem like since the second week of the year, things have turned. Now, it hasn't been easy. So how would you describe what this first half of the season has been like for you and your teammates?
Like you said, whenever Alabama struggles, it seems like it causes a national emergency. But we knew that it wasn't going to be easy. You know, this is a different team from last year, and we all had to find our roles. And week by week, we're finding our roles, and we're starting to work together really well, and we're progressing each week. So that's very encouraging. And the goal is to get better each week and go 1-0 each week.
Or I don't claim to know anything. I'm a fan, and I get the opportunity to talk to people like you who do know what's going on. But can you describe how difficult it is on that offensive line? You have a lot of new people, a lot of young people. I mean, you're a sophomore, but you're one of the older ones now. Why is that so difficult to make work? And obviously, it seems like maybe it's getting a little bit better, but it's a complex process, is it not?
It is. It's a very complex process, as you say, and like you said, we have a lot of new faces on the offensive line, and this is a unit to where everybody has to do their job the right way at the right time in order for the play to go well. And that takes for a lot of chemistry, and with a lot of people moving in and out, that's encouraged, and it's very encouraging to have a lot of people who are ready to play. But that also means that we have to have a lot better chemistry, a lot better communication. People have to be even better about their technique, and that's something that we're getting better with every week. And like I said, we have a lot of new guys on the offensive line. They're performing really well, and I'm excited to see how they continue to progress as the season goes on.
Tyler, sometimes the pundits talk about maybe it's not physical, it's mental. And I bring that up because there have been a lot of penalties. Happened last year, it's happening again. Is there an explanation of why that happens in the heat of a game?
We just have to have a lot more attention to detail. Like you said, in the heat of a game, we have a lot of people in new spots, you know, so they have to understand that as long as they do what they do when they're supposed to, as long as they dominate their box, everything will be okay. But like you said, there's experience will take up for a lot of that. So the more reps that these guys get, the better we'll be.
Talking to Tyler Booker from the University of Alabama, Tennessee comes into town. The last time I saw you, Tyler, I mean, I've seen you a lot since then, but not through this. I was trying to get you to name the quarterback, and of course you refused, which I know got you probably an extra, you know, drink or two at the training table from Coach Saban. But let's talk about the guy that is the quarterback now, and that's Jalen Milroe, and what's he like to play for and play with?
We all love playing for and with Jalen. You know, to see a quarterback that really took charge from day one and really said, I'm going to make this my team and we're going to succeed, that's very encouraging. And to see the way that he runs, like how hard he runs, of course we don't want to see our quarterback get hit, but to see that guy never slide and always fight for those extra yards, that makes us want to fight for him too. So he's an offensive lineman's quarterback for sure.
Yeah, it seemed that way, and I nobody asked my opinion. I didn't understand all the confusion after 2 or 3 weeks, but it just seemed from a distance, and you've alluded to it, that the guys really, really care for him and love him. And was it difficult when all of the quarterback interchanging was going on for that 1 week?
It was difficult because Coach Saban reiterates to us, we have to dominate our box and we have to focus on what we focus on. It's not up to us who the quarterback is and who's going to start that week. It's up to us to protect whoever was ever back there and perform regardless.
Tyler, going back to last week, and I'll get positive in a second here, but it seemed like that game was over. A lot of people were flipping around. What happens in a game like that when you're dominating and then suddenly, well, I'll let you answer the question. What happened?
We just have to keep our foot on the gas. You know, we can't let up. felt like we got complacent, and I feel like that's got us in trouble in a lot of games this season. The thing about us, we haven't played 60 minutes of football yet. And what I mean by that is everybody doing their job at a high level consistently. But once we start doing that, hopefully, with a good week of practice, that'll happen this weekend, and we'll reach our full potential then. But we just have to put together 60 minutes of football.
Let's talk about the upside for this team, because there's so much talent on the defensive side. We all know who the players are that have made a difference. On the offensive side, you know, you're part of that group that, you know, with a little improvement and consistency, and suddenly Alabama looks like Alabama again. How far is this team from breaking out and to achieving what the goals were set back in August when it all began?
We're not far from those goals at all. But the thing is, we have to continue to progress each week, and we have to continue to put a lot of our attention on detail. I came to Alabama just because of how much talent that's here, and iron sharpens iron. You mentioned the great defense that we have, and we have a lot of great offensive players as well. So going against each other every day during practice, we're only going to make each other better. And on top of that, the more we play with each other, the more the chemistry is built. All of our goals are still obtainable. You know, so we just have to continue to put that together week by week and continue to be consistent and play 60 minutes of football and execute.
Tyler, this week it's Tennessee, and I don't know what's happening in that locker room, but something tells me that there has been some reminding of what happened a year ago in Knoxville. That had to be an incredibly disappointing day for all of you guys. What do you remember about that, and does that matter as you get ready for Saturday?
What I remember from last year is us not executing. There were a lot of plays where we could have came back in the game and really put Tennessee away, but we had a lot of penalties. We had a lot of missed assignments. So that's what I remember from that game. So going into this week, I'm making sure that we cut out a lot of those penalties, that we cut out a lot of those missed assignments so we can play our brand of Alabama football. And what happened last year, happened last year. You know, we can't control that. We're just going into this week trying to execute and build off what we did this last game when we played consistently and to put that together for 60 minutes.
Tyler, before you go, I can't help but always ask about your head coach, Nick Saban. He's such a personality. And a lot of people were wondering early in the year, they were watching him on the sideline, and he didn't look like the old Nick Saban. What I mean by that is the fiery, screaming guy. It seems like lately I've seen him make a lot more noise. Were we not seeing the real Nick Saban early on when we were describing him as a kinder, gentler coach? What's it like to play for him right now?
Coach Saban, he's still the same Coach Saban. The cameras must be pointing a different way if you guys say you don't see that fire, because he still brings it. But yeah, Coach Saban's still Coach Saban. He still got that fire. He still brings that energy. He still brings that juice, you know, and we all feed off of that. So we have to continue to trust in him, trust in the game plan, trust in the coordinators, and execute, and the sky's the limit for us.
I mean, I know that a guy like you has no fear. I mean, you're a great athlete, and you're dealing in the trenches every day. But is there at any time a fear factor that you make a mistake and have to go over there and deal with him afterwards?
I wouldn't call it a fear factor, because if you play with that fear in your heart, that's how the mistakes and penalties do happen. So I just, in my mind, I'm like, okay, let me go execute, and I won't be that guy getting it.
I take it you've probably seen a few guys get it before.
I have.
That's why you're not fearful. Tyler, after this week, you get a break. I know you can't think about that, but does it feel like it's time after this week to have a week off and get regenerated for the second half of the season?
Like you said, I'm really focused on this week, really focused on doing what we need to do in order to come out victorious. But I'll approach the bye week once I get to it. But I'm very excited about this weekend, and it's a big weekend for us. It's a big weekend for the fans. It's one of the greatest rivalries in sports, and I'm ready to perform.
Oh, I give you an A+. I tried to sneak one past you about looking ahead. You would not even look ahead to the bye week.
Nah, we got business to handle this week. I'll worry about that when we get to it.
Man, your professors have an easy job with you in the class every day. Tyler, it's always good to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Likewise. Thank you, Mr. Feinbaum. Have a good one.
You got it. Always a pleasure. Tyler Booker never fails on message. why he is one of Nick Saban's top players. We'll take a short break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We would love to hear from you. We've got time to take your phone call at 855-242-7285. Michael is in Georgia. Hello, Michael.
I'm doing well, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir, but I also want to say that I know you get tired of people saying, how is your day? So I'm not going to say that. So I'm just going to start on what my topic is. And here's the topic. Brock Bowers. Number one, if you don't think that Kirby Smart is sitting in his house right now thinking about how he is going to make his team better by losing the best player in the country, well, then you're just wrong. That's why I'm not sad. I'm glad that it's over with. I'm glad that he got done. He needs to have his surgery. He needs to be the number, in my opinion, number two or three pick in the draft. But then you also have to understand that the man knows how to motivate people. And I include in those people not only his team, but his coaching staff. So he is probably right now sitting in Mike Bobo's office telling him that we don't have Brock Bowers for 4 to 6 weeks. So, because we don't have it, this is what you are going to do. You're going to devise a plan that is the better plan. That's what makes Georgia, Georgia. And I believe that. I genuinely believe that. Now, number two. The hearings in Washington are not only atrocious, but to be descriptive, I don't know what to say. It means that the NCAA is passing the buck on probably 50 years of malfeasance. Why don't we just say it what it is? The teams that have money are going to buy players that they want. Why don't we also say this? Why don't we say, in literal terms, why don't we just say that the system doesn't work, and what we need to do is give these people a stipend. Everybody gets a stipend. Nobody has to worry about whether or not they have popcorn money to take a kid to a movie. We need to give them a share of the revenue and move forward. And then lastly, my last thing. I was Mike from Newport Beach. I'm now Mike from Cumming, Georgia. I'm trying to sell the condo in Newport Beach. If you want it, Paul, it's only $2 million. You can buy it now.
Oh, my.
But at the end of the day.
I've been out there once or twice, and I can't handle $10 million, but I could.
I would take it
as a gift, though.
Well, then that would mean I had to work longer, and I'm only 54. By the way, my birthday was yesterday, Paul. So if you want,
Where exactly in Newport Beach is the condo?
I can tell you that. Right adjacent to Fashion Island. It's called Park Newport. And it's directly across. It's on the cliff of Newport Beach.
Oh, my.
I can send you a video if you'd like. It's got the Newport Bay. Then it's got Route 1 in California.
Okay,
and then it's got the Pacific Ocean. Your balcony view.
Do this. If for some reason I happen to win the Powerball tonight, I will call you in the morning.
I don't believe you need to win the Powerball, Paul. I believe that you are.
Well, Michael, I appreciate your confidence in my net worth, but you're sadly mistaken. Owen is up next in Georgia. Hello, Owen.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Okay, I'm from Fairburn, Georgia, and I was raised in Columbus, Georgia. I have a question for you. One of my best friends, instead of saying, I have a question, he would say, I tells you a question. So my question is, you know, everybody talks about Georgia, Florida in neutral field and have for years. Okay, did you know the Georgia-Auburn game was in a neutral field in Georgia for a number of years?
I did know that. Columbus, wasn't it?
Well, my hometown of Columbus.
Yes.
Did you know how many years it was there?
No, I mean, I just remember when I covered Auburn early in my career hearing that, but I have no idea how long.
Yeah, because it wasn't too long when they quit going, you know, going to the neutral, and they went from Auburn to Georgia and Georgia to Auburn. Wasn't too many years after they quit doing it that Vince Dooley became the coach. Okay, my question to you is, well, not the question since you knew it. Okay, the years was 1916 through 1958, okay? And that's 42 years. In the 42 years, there was only 3 years that it was not played, Georgia and Auburn. That was in 1917 and 18 in World War II. And the year I was born in World War II, 1943, was the last one. So 3 years out of the 42 years was not played. I don't know, well, a lot of your callers probably don't know this, and a lot of them maybe from Georgia do not even know it was a, but in the town of Columbus, like I told Daniel and Luke, you was either for Georgia or Auburn if you followed football. And my mother was for Georgia, and so I have an idea that I was actually a Bulldog from the time I was in my diapers up to now.
Well, Owen, thank you for the information. You be well. You take care of yourself. How about David up next? Hello, David.
Hey, good to talk with you, Paul. First-time caller.
Well, great.
Got a question for you. With LSU's offense being explosive as it is and their defense lacking a little bit, what do you think Alabama's chances are against LSU? And I'll let you answer it, and thank you for your call.
Thank you. Yeah, I think LSU, I think some of it depends on how Alabama handles Tennessee. I believe Alabama will definitely be favored against LSU. I think the question is, what can LSU do to stop Alabama? And they have not really played well on that side of the ball. I don't think Alabama wants to get behind in a game. I don't think Alabama, you know, needs mistakes in a game against a high-powered offense. But the only thing I can say is, you know, Alabama managed Ole Miss very well. It struggled in the first half, and then Jalen Milroe hit some big shots in the second half. I mean, I think the strategy will be fairly similar against LSU. Thank you for the call. Myth is in Kentucky. Hello, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just I got a question and a few comments about the rest of the season in college football. I think it's time to now answer this question. Is Kentucky a basketball or a freaking football state?
Myth, you really have to ask that question.
I mean, come on. I am so tired of it. We need a quarterback, Paul. Second of all, my God, I'm so fed up with the football in Kentucky. Second of all, I think Alabama might be in a little trouble this week. Tennessee's football, or Tennessee's the speed they play and the way they play the game, I think it might hurt them. They might be in some trouble this week. Third of all, I think Georgia might lose one game. Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Myth, thank you very, very much. Dallas is in Georgia. Hello, Dallas.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I'm a Georgia fan, but I have a question about what you think of how Washington this year compares to Tennessee last year.
Well, it's I think there's some similarities. I mean, they're probably two of the most explosive teams I've ever seen. I mean, at this point, I would say they're pretty comparable. You know, they both have scored monster wins at home in the middle of the year. They both have elite quarterbacks. They both have a lot of wide receivers that matter. The question is, I really wonder about with Washington is, you know, how their defense is going to hold up.
Yeah, thank you for the call.
I had similar questions about Tennessee last year, and we saw what happened in the South Carolina game.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. We will take a very short break. We've had a number of guests already, including Tyler Booker. We'll talk to Major General Vincent Bowles next. He always has interesting comments about the world, and with Army playing LSU and Coach Kelly talking about the service academies, we thought we'd say hello to the general.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back. Yeah, we were talking to Brian Kelly yesterday, as we do every Monday, and he mentioned, of course, Army coming in, and we really got to thinking, because Coach Kelly talked about, you know, how everybody in Baton Rouge is just honored to have this one of the service academies, especially West Point, come down there. And we thought of our friend Major General Vincent Bowles, retired U.S. Army General, to join us, especially with so much else happening. First of all, General, great to see you. I hope all is well.
Very well, Paul. Great to be here with you as always.
I'll start there, but there's a couple other things I would like to get your thoughts on. But sure. We were really touched by what Coach Kelly said, and I know there are a lot more important things going on in the world, and I want to get your thoughts on that in a second. But when you think about what the service academies represent, especially West Point, from an athletic standpoint, I think we'd like to hear your thoughts on the representation.
Well, it's not the team; it's America's team. They go there, and they go there not for a payoff in the NFL draft. They go there for the payoff of what they're going to give to the nation and how they themselves are going to develop themselves. You look at West Point, Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, Coast Guard Academy graduates 5, 7, 10 years afterwards. Normally, usually a very distinctive record of service and what they've done for themselves. So the payoff is for the nation, but they don't go with the idea that they're going to be first round draft choices or any round draft choices in the NFL.
General, there's so much conversation. In fact, today on Capitol Hill, of all things, there was something else going on. There was a hearing on NIL, and I can't help but think as Congress wrestles with college athletics about, you know, whether millionaire players can will lose their stipend, so to speak, about what you just got through saying. I mean, because players at Air Force, the Naval Academy, and Army are not making money off of their name, image, and likeness.
No, but they do get complete, every cadet gets complete tuition, room, board, books, and they are government employees. They get a stipend from the U.S. government every month. So because of that situation, they are prohibited, all the service academies are prohibited from taking NIL money.
That is so interesting, because I don't think that has really ever been properly enunciated. Yeah. General, I would like to, this is a sports show, as you know, but I can't help but ask you just about your thoughts on the state of the world while we all are watching television sets up and down and concerned about really the future of mankind with what's going on right now, not only in Ukraine, but of course in the Gaza Strip.
And we should be concerned. This is the equivalent of multiple 9/11s to the United States of America when you look at the attacks and what went on and everything else. Paul, this would be like terrorists from Hoover coming into Birmingham and taking a bunch of captives, 200 captives, and bringing them back to Hoover, and they're there, and they've left barbarity and atrocity in their wake. Israel will have to answer this, and will. At the same time, we can't take our eyes off what's going on in Ukraine. But I would offer one thought: is be strong. I can find a line. Anywhere I've traveled the world, and I can find a line anywhere I go in the world. And that line is outside a United States embassy or United States consulate. And the line is for people trying to get into this country. For regardless of our political disagreements and challenges and what's going on in the world, they're not lining up at the Russian embassy or the Iranian embassy or the North Korean embassy or the Chinese embassy fighting to get into those countries. They're fighting to get in here. So our strength is the purity of our cause. But these are challenging times, and tough times don't build character, they reveal it. And a lot will be revealed about the character of Israel and the character of our own nation as we stand with them.
And it is unique because I mean, this country always has come together in crisis, but this one's different in many respects because there are so many people living among all of us as our neighbors and friends who have dissenting views, and it gets very clouded in the world of public opinion, does it not, General?
It gets clouded if you let yourself get clouded. If you want to get clouded, the stakes here are unambiguous. Israel is the only democratic nation in that part of the world. They share our values. Though we have our differences at times and occasion, they share our values. Iran, Hamas, those other entities there do not share our values. They would end us all if they had an opportunity. So it gets clouded and ambiguous if you let yourself get clouded and ambiguous. But the facts are crystal clear.
I'm glad you answered it that way because I think we tend to get double vision sometimes as we talk about these issues, which brings me to your bigger point. And that's really the future of mankind. And that is not an exaggeration because you've already alluded to it. But I think sometimes we do get hung up in the nuances of politics and the moment. But as someone who stood on the front line in defending this country, could you address what really is at stake beyond you've given the preamble to it, but I'd love to hear you follow up.
I think the first thing at stake is the survival of Israel. None of those nations, only Egypt, none of the rest of the nations in that part of the world have recognized Israel's right to exist, which is the reason that the Saudi-US-Israel agreement, if it comes to fruition, will be so earth-shattering and earth-changing. So there are folks standing in the way of that who don't want that. But Israel fights every day for its existence, surrounded by enemies. And so the stakes are clear. Now, the future of mankind, there are entities in Russia and elsewhere around the world with nuclear weapons, with other weapons that could would cause great risk to the future of mankind and the future of the world. It is our responsibility to make sure that it's unambiguous what we stand up for, so that they know if they try to do that, there is an answer to that. There will be an answer to that. But the stakes have always been this high. We have had times like this before. If you go to Eisenhower's memoir, he calls the period from October to November 1956, when he's running for re-election, he calls it 20 busy days. An understatement if there ever was one. He's running for president. The Russians are invading Hungary and killing thousands. And at the same time, Israel, Britain, and France are invading Egypt to take over the Suez Canal. That's all happening within 20 days. And all going on, all those things swirling. We have had challenging times before. The one thing the world has been able to do is been able to count on America. There are some who deride that. I don't. The purity of our cause stands the test of time.
A final question on that, General, and I'm just curious because I've heard a lot of your former colleagues opine on television. There seems to be a lot of generals doing that.
Got to do something when you retire, man. You got to find something to do.
This attack happened nearly 2 weeks ago, and mm-hmm. there seems to be a lot happening over there in terms of galvanizing troops. You understand that because you've been mm-hmm. in charge of it. How quickly can you, and what I'm asking you specifically is in relation to Israel, because we seem to be on the precipice of something much mm-hmm. larger.
I was assigned in Berlin, Germany from 82 to 86 when the wall was up, and we were surrounded by Russian forces. And I remember the training again and again and again for how we would fight in a city fight. It will be brutal. The challenge isn't all the forces Israel has. Israel has more than enough forces. The challenge is getting them through these very narrow areas so they don't become choke points and you don't become stalled. The two biggest things that would keep me awake at night in this kind of a fight would be keeping the logistical supplies going into the force that's in the fight, getting them through those areas. And then at the same time, how do you medevac wounded individuals out under fire? That will be the real challenge. You can't leave in a fight like this. You cannot leave any building unchecked, because one individual in a building with hand grenades and weapons can stall 100 people. At the same time, you've got the entire tunnel network structure underneath the city, underneath the Gaza area that they've got to work with. So it will be a tremendous, it's channeling your forces to make sure they don't get constrained and choked. And all of a sudden it becomes one person after another just gets jammed up, and now nobody moves because everybody's in a massive traffic jam. So you really have to work through that. That's going to be the hardest thing, is freedom of movement and boundaries.
Always an honor to have General Bowles with us. Did not expect to go deep into that, but General, there's so much information that we glean from you. We're in your debt, and hope to talk to you again very soon.
Paul, it's always a pleasure, and just keep our forces who are being activated, and please keep the rest of the world in your prayers. Those folks go for us.
Indeed. Thank you very much, General Bowles.
Thank you, Paul. All the best.
Great to talk to you on such a terribly difficult subject. We'll take a short break. We'll get back to regular conversations in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Appreciate the general joining us, and Jim is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Paul, I hope I can be as serious and candid about this as I need to be, and play. I actually prayed about it before I got to talk to you. General Bowles is a needful voice. And, you know, I want to tell you something, Paul. The reason, the main reason I love the other show, before you got to ESPN-ized. Yes, that's what I feel and believe. And this is why. You were independent before you got ESPN-ized. I mean, seriously, you know, we know you were independent. Here's what I mean, if the people don't know what I'm saying. You were able to put on anybody and everybody you wanted to, you knew was needed, you knew the audience needed to hear, and it was nothing to do about favoring football or not favoring football or having a certain coach or having a certain nobody or having any other dumbass gate caller. It was about what you knew was right and you knew was needful. And that's why I don't like ESPN with you under their subjection, because I know you can't do that now. You already admitted basically you can't. But that's why I'm making this point now, because what he said was so needful, so important, and so I'm so glad he was able to get on, and people need to hear about the uncivilized actions that's going on. I can't believe, I don't know how God keeps that from stopping that over there, but he's God, and he knows what he's doing, and he's got his ways, Paul. He said he gave everybody a free will. That's always been a mystery to me. That's given me a problem. I admit, even questioning God, I question him. I don't get too many answers. I do get some answers about all he brings to my mind is just wait. Gotta wait. He's a God of patience. He don't want to put anybody in hell, but there's a ton of them are going to be there, I believe. But anyway, I hope I made my point clear, that I hope you get more people, and I hope you continue to talk this issue about what's going on over there that's so horrible, so reprehensible, so unbearable, so uncivilized, and so unmerciful. And I just thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, thank you.
John is up next in Chicago. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, buddy. I just have one comment about the guy trying to sell you some property in Newport.
Yes.
just make a deal with him and tell him when Lincoln Riley finds a way to have some defense on any team he's ever coached, that you will be a buyer for that property. And that's all I got to say. And can I get a go, Dogs? Thank you, Paul.
Go, Dogs. Lincoln Riley. What am I talking about here? How about Jeffrey in Tennessee? Hello, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you there? Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. Hank is in South Carolina. Hello, Hank.
I appreciate it, Paul. I thought the way you talk all the time, I believe that you have more faith than Kirby. When he saw Brock Bowers was a unicorn and break out his first year, he brought in tight ends. That's why he's got the top recruiting class.
You're right.
That's why he went to the transfer portal. He got Lucky. He got Dominique. I mean, he's got Jack Saint. So I don't, you know, I don't, yes, he is a unicorn. We need to have faith in Kirby because
I want to make it clear. I respect Kirby Smart more than any coach in the country, but it's still an issue when you lose your most valuable player. That's all I'm saying. I don't have undying faith in everybody, though. Susie is in Georgia. Hello, Susie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to respond to your talk just now with the general. How thought-provoking. Your questions, his answers. Thank you for bringing that to your show. I know we love to talk about our teams and who's going to win or lose this week, and it just puts our life into perspective that, you know, we're sitting here complaining my team didn't win or I'm done with my team or this team is going to beat my team. We've got to enjoy our teams, win or lose. Thank you. We are blessed to be watching them. But we've got serious things going on in the world, and the general really brought it out with your questions to him. And I thank you because I learned a lot more than I really knew. I mean, I knew it's terrible over there, and I know our world's in trouble. But he was just thank you. It was just great. It was one of the best.
You. And Susie, I know everything. Everybody thinks we always know what we're doing here. We don't. The intent was to talk about the LSU game, but I'm looking up at the screen. I'm seeing thousands of people, you know, running for their lives and the world at peril. And I just couldn't resist asking somebody who's been there, who understands it, just a question. Thank you for that. We're up against the break. Derek Brown, he was terrorizing at Auburn. He's now with the Panthers.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.